The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Last time on Home, an HBO Boys D&D experience. This is a full-length actual play campaign. We have Chad Adams also here. And James is a generational talent whose entertainment nips are never not hard. And I am Ryan, your humble DM, and by far the person on this show who has the most personal attacks aimed at him on Apple Podcast reviews. It is summer 2022, and us four boys gather at my house within our hometown to reminisce about old times. We are all high school friends, and now in our mid-30s, living out the ultimate dream, having a semi-popular recap and review podcast.
So I got here on a bicycle. You haven't seen me in a long time, and you're a little shocked about the shabbiness of my dress and the state my teeth are in. And the other thing that impresses you is that I am a taut 155 pounds. Wow, Ryan, this is a beautiful place you've got. This is much better than the commuter, I mean, where I'm, the house I'm staying in.
I step out of my DeLorean, do like a little once-over check, make sure I'm looking spiffy, and I walk in the door. Oh, one more thing. Big, bushy beard.
Well, I have been living in the commuter lot for the past 30 days. I spent a lot of time locked up in Japan.
So I round the corner of your road, and I run over the bicycle, and I smash straight into the DeLorean with my Audi.
Let's go get a chicken parm from Sally D's for old time's sake. And as we are there, the ground begins to shake violently beneath us. And we witness a spire of white light shoot up from the ground and up through the clouds. You arrive across the street, and within that short amount of time, Clinton is now heck on earth. Abraham Pearson's statue has come to life. You must take the last sliver of my power, because you four are now tasked with saving our town.
My name's Umph. You must be Abe's heroes. I was told about you very like recently, like 10 minutes ago, and then ordered to go capture you. Isn't that great?
Who sent you, by the way?
Mayor Tessa Van Gorp.
A noise happens all of a sudden, a motorcycle being driven by a big humanoid. It seems 8 feet tall, but no distinct features whatsoever, and long, shaggy black hair.
More powerful than I assumed you'd be. My name is Tessa.
You're the mayor.
And why don't you come along with me?
So here are a few things. Number one, I'm super fucking psyched with how last episode came out. I really liked it. And I have, there is no but here. It was really good. You guys fucking killed it. Ryan could use some work.
The character.
Always hard to like. Yeah. Just the way he talks is bad and it's not good. Anyway.
Oh.
But he's going to work on it. I had a meeting with him.
Did you tell him that he sounds like he has a punchable face?
Yes. Wow. That is a common... You know what, Chad? You are not the first one to say that.
And like an effeminate joker?
My dad used to say that to me. You know, Ryan.
Ryan, you're an effeminate joker.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Home, an HBO Boys D&D experience, a new actual play campaign brought to you by your local HBO Boys. If you'd like to help us out monetarily, you can visit us at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for one or more dollar a month. You get these episodes early, plus bonus content, but only if you pay us. That's the whole thing. That's how it works. And now for episode 2 of Home. Some quick housekeeping. You boys have some inventory ads that I'd like you to remember. James, you have 39 blueberries.
I would never forget that.
Right.
39? I wrote 80.
That's too many, Adam. Adam, you have a first aid kit, and Chad has bandages. Also, wonderful. You have two kinds of Ben & Jerry's that has to be melting at this point. Chad has Tonight Dough, and Adam has a Maricone Dream.
Maricone Dream.
I mean, I think it's been a couple in-game minutes, and it's June. If you haven't eaten those by now, they're not going to be good anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should start off immediately eating ice cream.
I cracked that open as soon as I picked it up. What are you waiting to eat your ice cream? Jeez.
I didn't know. You didn't make that clear, so I was...
Well, no, the power was out. You got to eat the ice cream.
Right.
He just went right in with his hand right in the freaking
door. I will allow that retcon, because narratively it does make sense.
We just walk out of Ethan Allen with ice cream all over our faces.
In fact, you never got into Ethan Allen.
We never
Allen.
Got in, yeah.
Oh, no, that's right. The CBS, sorry.
Yes, but we did end behind Ethan Allen. But before we get to find out what's up...
I like that Adam thought that we got our Ben and Jerry's at Ethan Allen.
No, I knew we were there and just, I don't know.
I got a sofa and Cherry Garcia. That was one of my favorite parts when Adam was like Cherry Garcia and Chad was like, damn it, now I can't
God
get
damn
Cherry
it,
Garcia.
Now I can't do it.
Only one of us.
That'll be a copier.
But before we find out what Tess has done with you all, we have... a super sweet flashback sequence. We see Adam in front of his house as a child. Adam, what is going on here in this scene from your past?
Yes, well, it was a warm and sunny Saturday morning, like any other Saturday morning. May 15th, 1999. I was 11 years old, vibrant, vocal, and full of happiness. I'd just eaten my breakfast and drank a glass of ice-cold 2% farm-fresh milk from old Aldo Wendo's place right up the road in Killingworth. You know, the farm we used to visit all the time. I put a chewy bar in my pocket, and I was ready to set off on my bike to meet up Ryan at his house. But I saw Jason and Garrett Bolston, my neighbors and the meanest kids this side of Route 1, patiently waiting for me at the end of my driveway. I was nervous, and they knew it. I did my best to ride up the grass around and past them, but Jason was too quick on his feet. He sprinted towards me, and I lost track of my direction, and I ran straight into the water well sticking out of the ground. It caused me to do a super sweet misty flip head over heels and onto the grass below, smashing my knee in an unfortunately placed rock sticking out of the ground. The wind knocked out of me. I was bleeding and defeated. And I yelled at in pain as I figures of Jason and Garrett started walking towards me. They laughed, made fun of me, saying I couldn't even ride a bike. But I got to my feet as quickly as I could, and Garrett said, "Since you can't even ride, this bike's mine, and you're never getting it back." He turned and began to ride away slowly with Jason in tow on the back wheel pegs. I glanced to the side and noticed I left my bowling bag sitting out by the garage door yesterday, and I did the only thing that I could do. I bolted towards it. I grabbed the ball and I held it in my hands. "How about one more title, sweetness?" I whispered as I wound up and whipped the 12-pound sphere in their direction, just narrowly missed. "You ride a bike like you throw a ball," shouted Jason. "Yeah, badly," continued Garrett as they rode off and out of sight. To avoid humiliation, I never rode a bike again. I began hating them, truly hating them. I was terrified and enraged all at once, and I didn't know how to handle it. I spent my youth training, bowling. I got better, more accurate, and became a junior all-star, and eventually, a national competitor.
Oh, shit.
Who's laughing now?
Me, I guess.
End scene.
Yeah.
So there's a reason behind the destruction of the bike.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, Chad.
Yeah.
I truly, truly hate them.
He saw James's bike earlier this day and with red in his eyes. And then slammed into a DeLorean for whatever reason.
And then chose to slam into the DeLorean.
For why, you crashed into Chad's car?
No, that was a choice I made, remember?
Yeah, he's just...
Because I'm an amazing driver, but I chose to drive directly into the DeLorean.
Yeah, as Chad said, he's just an asshole.
Like, maybe it was just because asshole. I'm jealous and I really wanted one myself.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Adam. For that glimpse into your past, that is...
It was jarring.
That it sounded jarring, and it has helped inform who you are today.
I'm glad.
You all stand in the office of Mayor Tessa Van Gorp.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, I know. And I'm aware. James, first things first. When's the last time you took a blueberry?
Not since I first got them.
Okay, so a bit ago. So you all, and I know Chad immediately was like, that's not where we were. That's a good point, Chad. I 100% agree with you. The last time we left you, you three were behind an Ethan Allen and talking to Mayor Tessa von Gorp. But so here's this thing. I would like for you guys to be in her office now. But what I will say is, for that to have happened, you all would have had to agree to do so. And perhaps you just wouldn't have agreed. But I would like you to be there.
Right on.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Chad.
It took too long last week, so we didn't get where we needed to get to.
I swear this is the last time I will ever do this.
Don't lie. I want to insight check the DM.
Okay, roll.
I got an 8.
You got an 8. You believe me.
And okay.
But perhaps you shouldn't. You three are in an office in the town hall. In front of you is Mayor Tessa von Gorp as she lurches around. She keeps hitting her head on things, hanging off the walls, and sometimes even the ceiling. But she barely reacts to it and never takes her eyes off of you three. Outside of Mayor Tessa's office, there are a cavalcade of creatures that are also gray, nondescript, 8 foot tall, bipedal nightmares. They're all fast walking. They all are holding pieces of paper and murmuring to each other. The office that you now stand in seems to be what it was. I mean, most likely none of you have ever been in the first selectman slash mayor's office in the town hall, but it's hard for you to imagine that she has done anything extracurricular with this room. There's a desk and chairs that look like they were bought in the early 90s, motivational posters, and a rug that's too thick and it covers most of the floor. To your right, yeah, it's too thick.
It's dummy thick.
It's, you know what, Adam?
Yeah.
I picked the wrong adjective, and I will acquiesce to your request. It is dummy thick. To your right is another creature that looks like her. This one, though, has spiky black hair and has a tool belt of sorts on. He's finishing up a spiral staircase in the corner that looks to be newly installed. To the right of that staircase is a black steel door that looks out of place. And to your left in the corner is a seemingly morose version of Umph, the 15-foot tall, humanoid, iron-clad monster that you charmed last time.
Has it been an hour since I cast that spell?
Yeah, it's been an hour on the dot. But I don't think you have to worry about this guy right now. He is no longer wielding his gigantic sword, and he used to have two horns, but since you last saw him, one of them is now missing. He looks towards the ground and looks sad as all fuck.
So as we walk in, I'm going to be like, it's so nice of you to offer to take us to Disneyland. You just got to get some stuff before we go. We're going to go to Disneyland after this, right?
Who are you talking to, Tess or Umph?
I'm talking to Tess. Yeah. Why else would we have come with you?
That's a great question. You're right. Disneyland is Umaro Numo 2. I know how to
That's right, guys. We're going to Disneyland. This day's starting to get better.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Weirdly enough, Disneyland, the one in LA, not World, the one in Orlando.
Yeah, I've never been to the one in California.
Right, across the nation. Right.
Yeah, we're going to go to Disneyland.
I'd like to go that one, too.
Yeah, let's do it.
Tess speaks up. I want you to know that we're not going to kill you. So, that's positive. We said that simultaneously. That's fine.
Yeah, we did.
You know, and this is something that you have to learn about this place. We don't punish survivors around here. That's not our vibe. No, we celebrate survivors here in Heck on Earth. But if you're going to be around, you must prove to be useful. Okay? And to that end, I have a little job for you three. Would you be willing to help me out?
So long as you're going to pay us under the table, I got a lot of undeclared income I don't want to have to mix up.
I'd just like all my red tape destroyed from pre-Heck on Earth.
Right. You know, it's funny you bring up red tape and undeclared income, because the job that I would like you to accomplish for me today is, well, this is Heck, after all. Sure, it's an extrapolation of Heck now on Earth, but There are still taxes to be paid. The
bullshit.
Whoa, Jesus.
Fuck that shit.
Adam, God, this is Tess talking. Are you okay?
Taxes suck. Why the fuck would I pay more taxes in this fucking town?
I have great news for you. They're not your taxes to pay.
Oh, okay. That's chill.
Oh. We have, since this afternoon, lost our first tax collector. We sent him out, and he got acid poured in his mouth, his eyes stabbed out, and then he was speared to a retaining wall this afternoon. So you guys are in, if you're willing to do so.
I have three questions.
Whoa.
My first question is, so you said survivors, and you said that some of your men have been attacked. Are you saying there are other survivors besides us?
Or, you know, Chad, just from the way that you handled Umph last time, not last time, she doesn't know episodic things happen.
Back in episode one.
Back in episode one. You're an inquisitive type, and I like that. And your questions will be answered soon enough. Can everybody roll a perception check for me right now?
Yes. And I get a bonus of something.
I got a 12.
I must be coming down. Perception's quite high.
James gets a 19. Chad gets a 12. Adam, you get a 12 as well.
Okay, good.
So you all pick up on this, but James more so than the other two. While Tess is talking, the door to the right of the staircase, the new, what it seems like new black door that has been installed in this office, just had a flash of purple light happen behind it momentarily. Tess doesn't seem to notice or doesn't seem to care, but out of your periphery, you do see that occur.
My second question.
Sure.
Is, so you know what's going on here.
I wouldn't be a very good mayor if I didn't.
Okay, so what's going on here?
That's a very broad question with a lot of answers. I, you know,
what happened to all the people?
What I'll say, Chad, is if you do this ongoing favor for me, you will find out. And I implore you, don't try anything violently ambitious. And we will stick to the accord that we hopefully are coming up with here today. If you three go out and collect taxes for me, I will pay you. In fact, I'll pay you three lots every time you come back with these applicable taxes. And
what's a lot?
Oh, yes. Yes, you are new. Lots are heck on earth currency.
Oh, good.
I would not try to give any of your paper or plastic money to any local demons. They will immediately attack you. But lots do go a long way around here. And your first assignment will be collecting taxes from, let's see here. She ruffles around some paperwork on her desk. Ah, yes, 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 yes. Our tax collector earlier was not able to take care of this one, so it will be the first one we are sending you to. It seems as though Bonkers and the Jump do owe, and they are outstanding even before they came here. You get their taxes, bring them back here, and I'll pay you. Does that seem fair?
What if we don't?
To be honest, we're already kind of doing a favor for a talking statue, and I don't want to have to be doing too many favors at the same time.
It's just going
to
get confusing.
Yeah. I understand. Talking statue. You speak of Abe, correct?
No. Very, very hard topic change, Mrs. Mayor. Question. Do demons shit and piss? Yes, no. Easy one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lot of shitting, lot of pissing all the time.
Okay.
That is then your can one you direct me
to the nearest demon little boy's room? Because I need to piss.
Oh, yes. James, yeah, the first door on your right when you leave this office is a human piss and shit establishment that you can sure as heck visit on your way out.
Am I free to go, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You are free to go.
Wait, it didn't exactly feel that way when we got dragged here.
Listen, this is a place that does and doesn't have rules simultaneously. It is the rule of who is more powerful than you and who you are more powerful than. It's something that I'm sure you'll get used to over time.
Hmm. So we saw that door, right? And we all noticed the flash of purple light.
That's correct.
The door.
Yes.
I have a, and tell me from a player standpoint, because I am learning this.
Sure.
I have a spell that is detect magic.
Mm-hmm.
Can I cast that spell to see if that is in fact magic? Or if it's, does that make a difference?
Well, hold on. So look next to your spell. See how it says V, M, and or S?
I see V / S.
So that means verbal and somatic. That means in order to cast that spell, you need to like say magic words and like move. So
understandable.
You can't cast it without being noticed.
Yeah, I can't just do it.
So you turn to the right and go, detect magic.
and wave your arms around. Assumably,
Tess goes, what the fuck are you doing?
Why are you doing that? Okay, never mind. Okay, so that answered my question. Never mind, keep going.
So, okay, Bonkers and the Jump, they owe 12 lots.
And we're only going to get 3?
Listen, you'll get more over time, but you have to prove that you are able to do this job in the first place.
What does the equivalent of 1 lot get us in something that humans can understand?
I know nothing of what humans can understand, I tell
you. Got you.
I have a question.
All of you have lots of questions.
Yeah, we sure do.
So you said that the people who are more powerful hold dominion over people that are weaker in this world now? Is that correct?
Not just this one, but sure.
Oh,
okay. So by your rules, I believe that Oof, or whatever his name is.
As you say his name wrong, he goes...
I believe that that according to your rule system, he belongs to me as I bested him.
Ooh.
If you would like to have a conversation with Umph as to who he is to you now, and he agrees to that, more power to you.
All right, so it's a loose caste system.
Yeah, it's loose. It's loosey goosey.
All right, I leave.
She did not say loosey goosey.
I walk out.
Goodbye. And she goes and sits down at her desk and then just sort of sits stolidly, sort of doing nothing.
Like done talking to the NPC.
Yeah.
I give Umph another blueberry before leaving.
thank you. Mayor, can I?
And she goes, you do whatever you wish. And then he goes,
okay.
And he pops the blueberry in his mouth and his eyes, like little flames in his eyes sort of pop up like, like he's sort of happy once more. Perhaps through the power of blueberry friendship, he has gained a point of happiness. Blueberry
friendship.
Yeah. First two are free. Bring some lots next time.
You are Umph's drug dealer.
For a currency we know nothing about.
I like that. James is just sort of setting up sort of an economic infrastructure for himself.
He's setting up for the future.
As you leave Tessa von Gorp's office, she gets up and shuts the door behind you. Now, what do you guys do?
So I want to just pull my compatriots aside in the hall. I just wanted to kind of have some privacy to talk. So what are we thinking, guys? I mean, we talked to a statue. Now we've talked to like a weird gray monster blob thing talking about jobs and some kind of money I don't understand. James, I think I agree with you. Like I don't want to juggle too many favors. But I mean, if we're going to need money to make it here, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Now that James can start charging for blueberries and Umph's race likes the blueberries, we should try and sell some of them.
That's an idea. That's
to
an
gain
idea.
Some lots.
I think probably it's a business you guys shouldn't want to get involved in if you aren't already. I mean, that's just my advice, having walked down that road. So, just to be clear, are you guys at all concerned about your loved ones in the hell world, or are we just kind of accepting that they're dead? Or
I don't have any loved ones.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty much a loner now. So,
yeah.
In fact, when Ryan invited me to his house, I was like, oh, I'm going to get to talk to somebody?
Yeah. Again, this podcast
is weird how much that is relatable to my situation, but I thought that I had a very specific situation. Small world, I guess.
Speaking of which, guys, when are we going to record the next HBO Boys podcast, which is canon in this game? Well, we're currently in hell,
so...
Do we get HBO here?
This is hell. Of course we do.
Yeah. Yeah, Netflix too, for sure.
Okay, so statue... What was the... remind me, what was the ask of the statue of Abe?
He just wanted us to use his power to... stop the curse. It was very vague.
Okay, so we don't have like any instruction of where to go or what to do.
No, we learned that Morgan was like cast aside and was like a big issue. So presumably, if we can learn more about Morgan, we can learn more about what happened. And then that's why we went to where the Morgan school used to be.
Yeah. And who are these, the Bonkers and the Junk? Is that their names?
The Jump.
The Jumpers.
Oh, well, that now makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Bonkers and the Jump. Where are they located? Do we know that?
We haven't taken the job yet.
You haven't, but also you met the Jump last time.
Oh, yes.
And are aware of who these two individuals are.
Yeah, they were the freaking trolls, right?
Yeah.
They were the ogres across the street. They were ogres. Fighting each other.
Okay. See, I told you we should have fucking listened to them when I was there.
I don't know. You want to befriend the people that we were trying to take taxes from? Hold on.
Lessen the blow a little bit, maybe?
I don't know. I think that will lessen the blow. I think if I was like, hey, Adam, I need you to pay me your taxes, you'd probably be angrier at me than if I was just some stranger. But
I'd be like, Chad, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Also, but, it was made clear to you that they murdered the last one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but we have powers.
Well, who way they might have too.
I feel like we're about to go into a battle.
I feel like I don't know if I want to take this job, and I want to know what you guys think.
I mean, we need to figure out something like what these lots, like, are we going to need these?
That's what I don't know.
I'll be real with you guys. Already, basically all of my needs are met. And so I'm just happy to be along for the ride.
Well, James is proving incredibly helpful.
He's a wild card.
I say just to get something rolling, maybe we can ask her for another set of people or persons to collect taxes from, because we know who these people are. Be like, hey, listen, can you start us off with something a little less intense?
Well, it really all depends in that case. Like, what's the value of the payout? You know,
right,
like,
that's what I was trying to figure out.
Is three lots going to buy me a house, or is it going to buy me an apple?
Well, if they owe 12 for just taxes, we're getting like very small amount of someone's taxes as payment.
Right.
But it's three lots for each. Ryan, asking you as the DM, is it three lots for each of us when we complete, or three lots total for each time we complete?
It is three lots if you complete the first one.
Yep.
And then past that, you get the inclination that it can be more.
Okay.
But also, I mean, you're free to negotiate with the demon.
I say we go in and ask for more information on this.
All right. Take it away, Adam.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go back into the room. We knock on the door and go back in the room to see the mayor.
When you walk back into the room, she is no longer sitting at her desk, and the room is empty.
Of everything or just of people?
No,
of creatures.
It is just Tessa is not in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I assume she probably went to that door. That was the only door in the room, right?
Door and spiral staircase.
I say the door because it flashed. So something happened and maybe she was aware, maybe not. So that's my best guess, unless you have a better guess, Chad.
Is the spiral staircase going up or down?
It's going up.
Presumably to the roof.
Mm.
Or to another room. Or the roof. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll follow your lead, Adam.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Let's go to the flashy door.
Okay. You walk up to the door and try to open it. And it is locked.
If only there was somebody with us who's really good at getting into locked doors.
Oh, man. James knows how to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know how to get into locked doors because I love the YouTube channel, The Lockpicking Lawyer, and not because I do illegal things, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Understood.
All right.
Well, let's see if those YouTube videos paid off.
Yeah. Let's see. Can roll for that.
Ooh. Okay.
Plus five. Pretty high.
16 plus 21. Five?
The roll, that is.
21.
Yeah.
Okay. So it takes you a little bit. You are very adamant that you haven't picked a lot of locks, but I think you have a lot of this in your background, perhaps. And you eventually do get it. The lock is undone, and the door is slightly ajar.
I don't know what I'm doing. He pulls out like a locksmithing kit.
He's like, and I'm going to try my best. Got it in 1 second.
He's like flipping the tools around his knuckles and stuff. And like, he's juggling them as he goes. I
truly don't know what I'm doing.
What is the order in which you entered this room?
I got lucky.
James, you're up front.
Yeah, you lead the way.
What'd you do?
I'll take the back.
Yeah, I'm in the middle.
You enter this room through the large, black, heavy door. You push it inwards, and when you get in there, you see this cavernous room. It's maybe 30 by 30, and in the middle of the room is a teleportation circle. And to be fair, I'm not sure you guys know what a teleportation circle is, but it's a large stone circle, and it has runes all around it. In that room, other than the circle, there is no one standing there.
Assuming this is some sort of teleportation device.
A teleportation circle, if you will.
Yes.
I think it's a little more egg-shaped or ovally. I'm going to call it a teleportation oval.
Oh, love that. Love that.
Oblong teleportation oval.
While you are having this conversation, the circle that is now in front of you starts to rotate. And by circle, I mean oval. I'm very sorry. The Understood. Oval starts to rotate. The runes light up one by one by one by one. It is going around and around and around, faster and faster and faster. What do you guys
shit,
do?
Someone's coming.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Yep,
I go up. I run out and I go up the spiral staircase.
Same. We just follow. We just run up and out.
Do you close the door on your way out?
James would be the last one.
Yeah, I'm polite like that.
Okay, I put the seat down when I'm done pissing. As you run up the spiral staircase, the door is now closed, and you see for a moment, purple light happen behind the door. You then walk all the way upstairs, and you enter what looks like a very normal office. And there is a kind of, in a circle, like 3 or 4 desks. At each of them are the same kind of nondescript, 8-foot-tall, gray. You don't know what these are, but they look a lot like Tessa, and they are all sitting there diligently working. One of them, who is closest to the staircase, then looks up at you as you enter the room and goes, hey, can I help you, or?
Yes, you can help me. I seem to be a bit turned around. I'm trying to find Tessa. She had a job for us, and we're a little confused.
Tessa? Tessa should be downstairs. You didn't see her there?
No.
Oh, fuck. Well, I don't know.
Can you guys give me a perception check?
Hey, natural 20.
I did poorly. I got a 3.
Adam and James, but especially Adam, James, who got a 16, you notice that on the walls of this room are maps of Clinton. On the desks in front of these 4 large creatures are piles and piles of maps. It looks like, to you specifically, Adam, they are using some sort of writing instrument to make on the maps of Clinton squares. Sometimes they go down the sides of rivers. It looks like they are parsing out land.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't think I should be able to help you anymore. You gotta go ask Tess about this. This is not above my pay grade.
Well, if you see her, can you just tell her that three of us were looking for her?
Oh yeah, sure, we'll do, absolutely.
We're called Team Jack.
Oh,
James, Adam, Chad.
Ah,
okay,
I understand.
He begins to write the Team Jack. We're here looking for Tessa. Got it.
All right, Jack, off.
And you were waiting
now
for that.
Now the podcast has ended now that the perfect joke has occurred.
Oh, my God.
All right, what do you guys do?
Okay, so because Chad was unable to see this or did not see this, I would just let him know, hey, Chad, when I was in there, I saw like different tons of maps of the town all over the walls. And on the floor, there was piles of these maps. And it looked like they were creating plots of land and parsing out land across the town, like in red squares all over the town. I saw that. I don't know if that means anything, but it sounds like they may want to invade our town.
Well, I think they've done that part already.
Our town further.
Yeah.
So, well, here's what I'm thinking. It sounds like they're dividing up the town into lots.
Yeah.
And perhaps these lots that we can be paid are in fact like actual lots.
Oh, yes. Good point.
It does beg the question, though, how we're going to collect 12 lots from someone. But
I assume they're deeded.
Maybe we
that's need to a lot of lots.
Hey.
That's just a brief vision of the old James cracking through right there.
Yeah. While you're having this conversation, you hear footsteps coming up the stairs. And
Tessa.
Coming out from the stairs is Mayor Tessa Van Gorp.
Oh, wonderful. Tessa, there perfect you are. Timing.
Tessa.
Speak of the demon.
Team Jackoff is looking for you.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Humphrey. Very good. You just get back to your work. Can we perhaps go back downstairs, gentlemen?
Of course.
Sure.
Of course. Where did you go? We stepped outside your door for just a second.
Oh, yes. I had some business I had to take up very quickly. You guys go back downstairs with Tessa. Adam, with your natural 20 still rolling here, on her desk, you can see a map that looks a lot like the ones upstairs, but this one is different. Not only are the places, or lots as you say, are sort of being parsed out on the map that she has, but there are purple dots all over her map. She walks over to the desk and sort of pushes something over that map and says, so you guys came back. Do you need anything else from me, or...
I want 6 lots.
You want 6 lots?
Yes.
How about you actually do the job, and then perhaps we can discuss further payment?
I want 6 lots. I want 3 now for accepting a job we know nothing about, and then I want 3 upon completion.
You know what? You know what? You drive a hard bargain. Umph is in the corner like, oh my God. Wow. Like having a fucking hyperventilating nervous breakdown in the corner that anyone is saying anything like this to.
He's also rolling face. So.
Yeah, he's fucked up. He's high, but still concerned, which should give you some indication as to how ominous what you are currently doing is. She reaches into a drawer on the bottom of her desk and takes out 3 pieces of interrogative. This is actual currency. What do you want it to look like? You 3 can decide.
Oh, this is this is what a lot is.
Yeah. What is a lot? It is truly a, it can be paper. It can be metallic. What do you guys want the currency to look like?
Ooh.
I would like it to look like small, like maybe 5-inch long, like metal rods, about half the thickness of a straw.
That's so specific.
Half straws.
And half straws. And I want their value to be determined by which color they are. So like a 5 lot is a blue one.
Oh, yes.
What's a 1 lot?
It's green.
Green.
What's 10?
Red.
What's 20?
That's got an answer for everything.
Purple.
What's 100?
It's all of the colors striped.
Ooh.
Every color visible in the human eye spectrum.
Yeah.
No, just the other 5
1 million colors just striped across.
And the rare 2 lot
stick
is orange.
Ooh. It's still worth 2, though. So.
It's still only worth 2.
Yeah. Tessa reaches into that drawer and takes out 3 5-inch long silver rods that are about half of a straw and
what the fuck?
And hands them to you, Chad. Her hand is almost as big as like the top half of your torso as she gently puts it into your hand and closes your hand over them and goes, three lots. If you come back, perhaps we can discuss more. Now, have I satisfied your request?
You have indeed.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, please, get the fuck out of my office.
Gladly.
Okay, bye.
So we walk out. Walk out and close the door.
You can hear Umpy like, fuck.
All right, so I saw something very interesting on her desk, Chad.
You did.
You guys are talking, by the way. There are still, like, a lot of these large humanoid creatures walking around. They're kind of all side-eyeing you, like, whoa, what are they doing in that office? And they're kind of just handing papers to each other. It looks like they're making up shit to do.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's walk outside, and I have something to tell you.
Oh, okay.
You guys walk outside the town hall. You're now in front of it. It is about 8 p.m., and the sun is now going down. You notice immediately in front of you as you walk out, not directly in front of you, but like hiding behind bushes and hiding near and outside buildings are those blobs that you ran into driving to CVS earlier in the night. And there are more of them than there were before.
Oh, so there's more in darkness.
I cast light. It's a 20-foot sphere. I pick up like a rock and I cast light under the rock. So like wherever, like the rock is emitting light into a 20-foot radius.
As you cast light into that rock, a lot of the blobs that are in front of you, all the ones that you can see at least, do sort of cringe backwards and avert their gaze or at least hide where their eyes are so that they're not looking straight at it.
Interesting.
Okay. I have information that I'd like to say, but I don't want to compromise with these blobs everywhere because they could be listening to us.
Well, we could go back into Abe's hole, right?
Mm-hmm. You can enter Abe's hole if you'd like.
Yeah, let's enter.
You know,
his
I want to know. I want to know what Ryan thinks about everything that's going on.
I mean, he hasn't been here for any of it, right?
I know. Let's go talk to Ryan.
You walk across the street and down maybe less than a quarter of a mile. As you see Abraham Pearson School on your right, the Clinton Antique Center now imploded on your left. Bonkers and the Jump are still beating the shit out of each other. You can't comprehend that they can just be still doing this. But like Bonkers trips Jump and he goes, "What? You got me, fuck!" And the blue square portal opens up in front of the Abraham Pearson School, leading down into Abe's lair as you arrive.
All right, what the fuck, Abraham?
He has his hands on his head, still just kind of looking downwards as you left him, and he looks up as you enter.
I say, you did not properly prepare us for what we're dealing with out there.
What was out there? What are you dealing with?
There's all sorts of giant gray monster things, and then there's two fucking ogres fighting across the street, and they keep calling it Heck on Earth.
Ugh. Heck on Earth, yes, that does make sense. It's what the prophecy foretold. Listen, you guys are my eyes and ears. Anything that you learn, you must come back and tell me, because you truly are teaching me more than I could ever know.
So you don't know anything about what's going on?
I wish I did. If I did, then I could be more helpful, I suppose.
Boy, do I have some information for you.
If you disseminate all of... I won't make you just... Or yeah, make the audience sit through that. But you disseminate all the information that you've recently gathered from the town hall. Also, you see NPC version of Ryan at like a newly constructed workspace in the back. He is sitting and he looks like he is polishing a watch. Abe hears about the map. He hears about the room of maps. He hears about the teleportation oval. And he hears about Tessa's map with the dots all over it.
Perfect.
And he goes,
Well, I suppose that the maps must mean something. What they mean, I don't know. But maybe obtaining those maps would be helpful in figuring it out.
All right.
I should have taken one.
So new goal. We want to try to get these maps.
Yeah.
Ryan, the NPC, runs from the back as he kind of now hears your voices and is like, guys, I tell you, I have had a productive 3 hours. I just went out there like by myself, which was ill-advised. I walked down the street. It was crazy. Blobs everywhere. I dipped, I dived, and then I went into my dad. He used to have an office across from the post office. So I was like, let's go in there. Let's see what's going on in there. And I tell you, it was fucking weird in there, man. There's just like nothing in there at all anymore, except there's a vault in there. I went into that vault and I met a guy.
Oh, that's so great. Did you guys hit it off?
Nope. In fact, he offered to end my life. I politely declined.
Okay.
And then he offered me a job. And I was like, yeah, I'm in the Abe's Lair, not doing nothing. So sure. He handed me just like a bucket full of pocket watches and he told me to polish them. So I've been polishing them right up. It has been a lot of fun. Oh, by the way. And he runs back to where he was working and then comes back to you and hands Adam two green lots. And he says,
excellent.
Yeah. So he paid me up front. And the more I polish, the more he gives me. It's a pretty sweet deal. So, and I can't use them in here. I have no idea where to use them.
This isn't a sex thing, right?
I hope so. I fucking hope so. God, I hope so.
Ryan, you should continue polishing those watches and we'll okay, come back and here.
And okay. He leaves. He just keeps, he's like, polish away, baby.
Wonderful. We now have a steady income. We're going to steal Ryan's lots.
Apparently. All right. So here's what I propose. So we want to get these maps. We think these maps are going to be helpful to us.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So I think if we just walked back in there, she might get a little suspicious. So
yes,
I think we should collect our taxes.
Okay.
And when we go back in there, try to devise some kind of plan to snatch some of those maps.
Okay. Well, what I gathered out of that teleportation room and the map that had a bunch of purple dots on it is that all those dots are different teleportation rooms. So
did you happen to see if there was a dot on the town hall?
With his 20, he gathered that there was a dot, in fact, on the town hall.
Okay, yes. Yes, there was a dot on the town hall, which made me believe that each one of those dots is another similar teleportation rune room that will guide you. So I would say that room leads you to another room, leads you to another room, if you chose to.
It's like some kind of teleportation network.
Yeah, across the town.
So many ovals.
So many ovals. Ovals everywhere. Lots of ovals.
So I wonder if we could do this first job, get the taxes from Bonkers and the Jump, and then attempt to run up and grab a map off her, grab that map off her desk.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. There. You and I both can make magic hands.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We have mage hands. That's right.
If we you could make them clap. That would be fun to see.
I feel like that might not be productive.
Okay. Just a thought.
Throwing it out there.
Here's what I'm thinking. So while we're doing our business,
yeah,
we can cast those hands behind her.
We
and
could.
So like we're kind of being our own distraction.
In unison.
And then the hands just need to like pull the stuff, I guess, out the window or something if we can figure out how to open a window.
Or have it float to the ceiling and then when she turns around, have it go out the door with us. Something like that. I don't know.
That's a thought.
It's a thought. James, what do you have to add to this?
I mean, she wasn't even there when we came back. This is the second time. Why don't we just go in a third time? And if she's not there, we just take it.
I mean, he's got a point.
But what do we say if she sees us?
Just leave that to me.
Oh.
I say as I pop another blueberry.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
You know, back in Japan, they used to call me Mr. Charisma. And just now, I'm feeling like Mr. Confidence.
Okay, what do you guys do?
Do you want to go with James's plan where he just goes in and then he can take it? Or do we actually try to do this lot tax collection?
James, you're pretty sneaky. Do you think you could sneak in there?
I mean, I think I could pretty much do anything right now, yeah.
Full of confidence.
So before your blueberry kicks in fully, do you feel confident that you could sneak in there and talk your way out?
Yeah, I can't overstate how confident I feel I can do that.
I think we got ourselves a plan.
I think we got a plan.
So you are walking back to the town hall, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. As we leave the place, though, I kind of want to scout out the two brothers that are fighting and just kind of get a sense for like obviously they're tough Like, they've been fighting for hours now. So, yeah. Are they, like, looking tired?
Let's see if we can Assassin's Creed eavesdrop on them, like I said last time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see from afar that they are very sweaty. Especially now. Sexy. You can see the rock light that you have that is pointed somewhat towards them. The sweat is glistening in the night.
Mm.
The hole left over by the antique shop, how deep is it?
From where you are, you can't see the bottom.
And they're fighting like around it, right?
Right in front of it.
Okay.
Do we have any like staggering attacks that would make them fall in?
I've got like a magic missile kind of thing, which might help push them.
Maybe you both do your magic hands and you make them clap so hard, they blow everything away.
I don't think my magic hand is that strong.
Okay. Just an idea.
You know what, Adam? I cast Mage Hand. Let's just clap our hands once so James can get his little
Mage Hand.
We clap.
Clap.
Okay. As you begin to clap, Bonkers and the Jump.
Oh, here we go.
One being gray, completely nude, dick swinging in the wind, as you might recall. Yep. The other purple with a handkerchief over his genitalia and fingerless gloves on. They stop fighting each other for a brief moment to look at what the sound is. And they are both now looking directly at you. And you hear one of them go, "Oh, fucking turn that off, dude. Turn that off. You're blinding me, you fuck."
I turn it off.
"Thanks." And they look at each other and start beating the shit out of each other again.
They seem like kind of like weirdly friendly.
Yeah. And that those two mage hands clapping was a lot cooler in my mind.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Are they between us and the town hall? Like, do we have to go through them or around them to get back to the town hall?
You have to go around them to get to the town hall.
All right. So let's make our way around them.
Okay.
Okay. We're not going to deal with them yet.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
As you pass them by, you do notice that in back of them where they're fighting, they seem to have taken cars that have been left in the street and piled them on top of each other. And then they took smaller cars and put them around the piled up cars, sort of looking like a makeshift desk and makeshift chairs. They also, by the way, kind of always at some point push one another into said desk. And then both of them, before they start fighting again, put a car back. Like, they fix the thing that they made and they're like, "Okay, and that's done." And then keep fighting again. On the car desk, you see 6 beach ball sized styrofoam looking spheres with wires coming out of them that connect straight into the ground.
Mm.
So you're on your way to the town hall, right?
Yes.
Okay. As you walk, it is getting darker and darker and darker. You see the blobs sort of encroaching upon you immediately.
Yeah. Once we get out of eye shot of the guys, I'm going to cast light on another pebble.
And the same thing happens where they see it and they're like, "Oh, no, fuck that." And they sort of get back.
Okay.
But now this time, they're not hiding behind anything. They are sort of just looking down. So they're lining the road as you walk, not coming towards you, but also not backing away.
But if we go up to them, towards them, will they back away, like the closer the light gets to them? Or are they just chilling?
You sure can try.
I try.
Okay. As you go up to one of them with the light, they do take like one blop back. And
blop?
Yeah, they don't have legs. It's just sort of... They look like opaque black dittos, basically.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But like really tall.
Yes. Yeah, but they're like 6 feet tall.
They're like jacked dittos.
They're like ditto dildos.
Like ditto dildos. They're not... you know what? I want that to be true, but it's not. You walk towards one of them and it does back away slightly. But as you do, the ones who are at the sides do come in further, sort of trying to make a horseshoe around Chad as you hold the light up. So they're backing away, but they're also... kind of creating flanks on either side of you.
Is there a way to see if like they're preparing to attack us, or see a motive?
That could be an insight check.
All right. 15 minus 1, 14.
With a 14, you do get the feeling that they're not big fans of you. They don't like that you have the rock light, and they want that to stop, and they want you to either not be near them or be dead.
Was the light on in the mayor's office?
No, there was no actual light above you on. There was only light coming in through the windows.
Okay.
Yes, because they were up there.
Okay, so I'm not going to, when we get close to the town hall, I'm gonna dispel my light because I don't want to, you know, we're trying to sneak in. I don't want to be...
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in with a beacon.
Are you all three walking into the town hall?
No, I think the stealthiest of us should go in, and he can...
That would be James.
That would be James. I will cast... James, you have a pocket, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm wearing cargo shorts, man. I got so, at least 8 pockets.
The plan is you're going to sneak in, and if no one's in the room, you're going to steal some papers, right?
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to take another pebble, and I'm going to put it in his pocket, and I'm going to cast light on it in his pocket, and I'm going to close the pocket so you can't see the light.
Okay.
James, when you get up there, if the coast is clear, I want you to take this out of your pocket and we'll watch the window for the flash and then put it back in your pocket quickly, just like a flash of light. And then when that happens, Adam and I will cast Mage Hand and you can hand all the papers to us and we'll bring them back to us.
Sounds good.
That way you can sneak out and you won't have the papers on your person.
So I throw the papers out the window.
Yeah, well, you hand them to us. So they're,
yeah,
again,
we'll,
they're not,
we'll grab them with our Mage Hand.
Yeah, you don't want to like throw them all over the floor either. You want to like
place them in our Mage Hands.
Place them in our Mage Hands. Yeah. All right, how's that sound?
Sounds amazing.
Okay.
He's so, still rolling face.
I'm going to now treat this as two separate parties. The two that are sitting outside and James going in. We will take care of the two sitting outside first. Are you guys trying to hide at all? Or are you just standing there?
We want to make sure we have a good vantage point of the... we would know this from being, you know, people who live in this town.
Sure.
Yeah.
where is the mayor's office, like in relation to the building and the road?
If you walk in the front door, it is down a hallway to the left on the floor that you walk in on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's that first corner, like office.
Okay. So we can hide in like, we can hide in like the trees to the left.
We can hide into the tree lighting tree. Let's hide in the tree lighting tree.
The tree right that there. Is the town Christmas tree?
The Christmas tree, town.
Okay,
town
so tree. Both of you, please roll stealth checks.
Well, no, we need to make sure that we're within 30 feet of the window.
Sure. There are bushes that line
the
outside. You can be in the bushes, but you still need to roll stealth checks.
Sure.
All right, 10. And
me too?
Plus 3, 13.
Adam, you roll a 13, and Chad, a natural 20. A lot of... That's amazing. Like the fourth or fifth 20...
I know.
...in two sessions. Okay, Chad, you have never been more stealthy in your goddamn life. You are...
That's true.
You basically are a bush at this point. You grow
He's
fucking...
He's wearing a ghillie suit.
You grow leaves, dude. You are stealthy as heck. And Adam, you are watching Chad be like, what the... how are you even... Okay, you're trying to imitate what Chad is doing, and you're doing a decent enough job. It doesn't look like any of the blobs that are outside the town hall currently notice that you are there.
Excellent.
James, you enter the town hall. How do you do so?
I pull the hood over my head from the hooded sweatshirt that I'm wearing, and I've just, you know, very creepily, stealthily... Like I'm breaking into somebody's summer home on, you know, near the beach.
This is very specific.
Do you know this from experience?
No, I'm just imagining, you know, I'm just imagining that I did this last week. And, you know, just instead of looking for a medicine cabinet, I'm looking for an office.
Okay, roll me a stealth check as well. And you need to do so with disadvantage, please.
Why?
Because you're high as fuck. If you'd like to negotiate, perhaps you have a strong tolerance to oxycodone, but you've now taken two oxys.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Well, no, you have disadvantage. You got
to
roll
twice. Roll again.
Oh.
Take the lower of the two.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but don't you have still have a plus somewhere?
Yeah, what's the modifier on top of that 10?
Five.
Five.
Six.
Okay. Five. So with a 15, you gracefully... make it down that hallway, kind of creeping from the outside of door to door to door, and you reach Mayor Tessa von Gorp's office door.
All right, and I'm going to press my ear up to the door.
You don't hear anything.
All right, I'm going to try to gently turn the knob.
You still don't hear anything.
I go in.
Okay. As you enter, Tessa von Gorp is sitting at her desk and looking directly at you. And her eyes are sort of vacant and completely white. With your 15, it doesn't seem like she's present, but she is sitting there.
Okay. Well, I kind of wave my hand, you know, in front of her face like a vaudeville act to see if she could see me.
Okay. She does not respond or do anything.
Okay. Okay. I probably wouldn't have done that, but all right.
You're not inside,
Tessa!
Chad.
Hey, Tessa.
You were are a you awake?
No, I don't
Dude,
do that.
Dude, yeah, what the fuck?
Tessa. Umph is still in the corner, by the way. And he kind of looks up and he goes, oh, my God.
James, what are you doing?
Shh.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
Umph. I'm going to need you to take like three more of these and just relax, man.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I give him three more.
That sounds good, man. And he puts three more in his mouth. He goes,
and his head kind of goes back down.
Okay. All right. Now I'm looking around for papers. Do I see any papers?
It is as you left it. There is still a map on the desk of Tessa von Gorp, and it is right in front of her.
Okay, then I very gently and quietly pick up the papers.
Can you roll me a sleight of hand check, please?
Do I still have disadvantage for being high?
You can roll this one normally.
I'm just picking up some papers.
Yeah. Jesus! Hey! Jesus fucking Christ! What is
natural
this?
Natural 20.
It's roll 20, dude.
Did you hack into roll 20? Like, are you guys the developers?
Yes.
Okay, with a natural 20... Again, you pick up the map and you roll it up in your hands. What do you do with it?
I kind of stick it out the window and just kind of wiggle it up and down.
Okay.
I say, Adam, he didn't fucking do the thing. I cast Mage Hand.
I know, he didn't do the thing. I cast the other Mage Hand. To
what was I supposed to do?
You're supposed flash to flash light. The light in the window.
Well,
that's okay. Fine.
It's fine. You did not do that.
He's so stealthy.
He is waving the map out the window. What do you do?
Well, you already cast it, so you can grab it, Chad.
Yeah, I'll go. I go and I grab it.
Okay.
With my mage hand.
You are now in possession of the map that was previously on the mayor's desk. James, what do you do now?
Wait, I say, yes. Adam, cast your hand up there too.
Oh, okay. I cast mage hand.
Okay. I hand you the map.
Okay,
and
I got the map.
My mage hand like point at James.
Okay.
And then I gesture like someone walking, and I make it look like he's jumping out of the window.
Oh, so you're instructing him to jump out the window.
I don't need your. I already thought of that. Okay, but I was going to add another layer to it.
And then my hand turns into a tiny person, and it does a salute.
Sure.
And then I do a thumbs up. What are you doing, James?
That happens.
I go over to the door and I close it gently, so gently and quietly, and I lock it as well.
Mm.
Ooh.
This is going to be like the locked door murder mystery, like in a Agatha Christie novel.
Sure. You know everyone dies in those novels, right?
And now I'm going to pop another blueberry and jump out the window.
I cast Featherfall.
So
that's
you've
specific.
4, 3. So you now have 33 blueberries total, and you've taken 3 in the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, Featherfall occurs. James floats to the ground, his eyes now buzzing from side to side.
Most importantly,
he can't feel his limbs.
He lands silently.
This is some great shit. But look at that, guys. You guys said that I was a loser and I'd never amount to anything and I was wasting my life, and now I've got the map.
I voted for you most likely to succeed in high school. I never said any of those
hand
things.
And do the Hey Arnold handshake with James.
Yeah, I might be projecting a couple things there.
Sure.
Adam, you mind if I hold on to those maps?
Go right ahead.
It is one singular map, the link to which is currently in the HBO Boys Mod Meta Discord, and you can click on it and see what it is. As you three stand outside, and the sun goes down under the horizon, you are now looking at a map.
So these are where we believe the teleportation areas are.
Are they not? They're ovals, Adam. Okay.
Ovals,
they're
sorry.
Ovals, yeah.
The Jeez. Rune ovals.
Don't you know your shapes, you fucking
Yeah, I'm
bar.
Sorry.
You dingus.
I thought it was a rhombus.
Yeah.
That's a whole different spell.
Yeah, totally different. You all begin to leave the town hall premises. So you go back into the road and I assume are heading back west. James, with a roll of 20 that I know was a stealth check, I'm going to apply it to what happens next as well. As you are leaving, you do see that Tessa von Gorp is standing now in the window, watching you three leave. She then closes the window and turns back around. In her office, the purple light shines once more from the door. The door opens and Tessa von Gorp sees who walks out of it. And whoever walks out of it says,
"Well, this is gonna be more fun than I ever thought it could be."
I'm starting to think we maybe shouldn't have gotten that map, boys.
I love to death your ability to do nothing of what I want you to do.
Oh no.
But it's awesome. Sorry. It's great. It's wonderful. I assumed 100% that was.
I just love that we're just walking back and forth between like the two things to do.
I know.